on, Rituro!
Hi, I am Daryl, and I think the Army Surplus is going to win.
Oh, my name's Lindsay, and I think that Rufus Roughcut's going to win.
And I'm Mike D, and I think it's going to be the Anthill Mob.
Are you sure it's not going to be Mike?
It's going to be
No
Mob.
Joke, that was running through my head. I was like, should I say that?
Yeah,
I'm so glad you did, though.
NSYNC are going to win.
Yeah, I think Justin Timberlake is going to win.
They always win right in here.
Yeah.
I'm Justin towards my heart.
They are always a winner.
I'm Justin towards my heart.
I'm just in time.
That's right. It's Wacky
Races. We're the Forgotten Failures.
Yeah. We're the Forgotten Failures podcast, and we watched another episode of Wacky Races.
Episode 7, Baja Ha Ha Race.
And
original air date, October 5th, 1968.
And boy, was it wacky.
Oh, it was wacky, all right.
It was Wacky Racist.
That's right.
So this is an episode of the Wacky Races, Wacky Races.
Yeah, this is like the show from the days of eugenics called Wacky Races, about how all the lower races acted in such wacky ways.
Yeah.
In this case, it's Mexicans.
Yeah.
Yes, we are in Baja, California, in an enchilada by the sea.
Yeah.
Because
it's... It's Mexicans.
Because Donald Trump would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mexican towns aren't even called by the sea.
No.
Yes.
But anyway.
Real places aren't called by the sea.
No, in England, towns are named like that.
Yeah, it's very white. It's a very white thing.
Well,
and England imitation.
Hey, let's not offend our.
I know, look at me being racist. This show's got me all mixed up. It's got me all twisted.
It's got me all whacked out on races.
Yeah.
Got me lifted, shifted, etc.
Ooh, it's the ultimate feel. Okay, I can't do this. But sugar.
Is that Baby Bash?
It is Baby Bash. Sugar.
When Baby Bash became famous, I knew that it was like, this guy is going to be famous for like 8 months.
Oh, yeah. But he did have two really good songs.
Hey, he knew he was going to be famous for 8 months. He was like,
oh, yeah.
This is...
He took it all in and then just... Went to Baja Ha Ha by the sea.
Yes.
Like, he's probably retired somewhere there, right on the beach.
Actually, I think that first guy you see in the...
The guy with the sombrero?
Yeah, the guy with the sombrero.
As if anybody in this episode doesn't have a sombrero.
Yeah.
Other than the main racing characters.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we just go, like, all the weird Mexican stereotypes? Just name
all those,
them all?
Well, there's the lazy guy, there's the lazy guy with the hat.
That's part of the metric.
Sure.
We actually kept some new metrics for this metrics.
So let's start at the beginning. How about that?
Very good place for start.
Yeah. All right.
It's preferred.
Yeah. So we start the race, and Dick Dastardly, as always, has foiled himself before the race even begins.
People just have a negative reaction to Dick Dastardly because they see him as an elitist.
Look, and he's, you know, his name is Dick Dastardly.
So what is
his parents gave him that name.
Yeah.
No, he has to keep it alive, for the sake of the family line.
It's Richard Dastardly. It's not that, you know.
Yeah.
Richard Coddington Dastardly IV.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Muttley, as his son and heir, has to bear that name, but he's decided to go against it and just go by his nickname.
Well, Muttley's adopted, which is so.
Tricky Dick Dastardly.
Tricky Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's one spectator at the beginning of the race.
Yes.
And he's wearing a sombrero.
Of course.
Yes. This is in the rugged peninsula of Baja, California.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, this sombrero gag is pretty good, I thought. You know, Looney Tunes-esque.
Why not? Because
the wind picks up the sombrero and takes it away. And, of course, while sleeping, as they all do, he grabs a sombrero. He sticks out his big arm as the sombrero flies away and puts it back on his head. He does this twice.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third time, he grabs a giant rock and drops it on his own head to hold the sombrero in place.
And then another... gust of wind moves the sombrero off of his head, but not the rock. The rock then crushes his head, and he then grabs his hat and puts it back on top of the rock and continues sleeping.
Yeah.
Pretty good skit.
Yeah.
It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Sure.
Classic sketch comedy. Classic animated sketch comedy. And then we're into the race. Not that much happens in the race. Dick Dastardly and Muttley, again with the imitation cows.
Yeah, they tried again.
Yeah,
I don't know why Muttley would,
after
the last race, I don't know why he would agree to that.
Well, this is a serialized show, so it's obvious that from the last race, they learned not to impersonate cows themselves. They got a bunch of rubber cow balloons. Yeah, because they weren't even... They were just holding a bunch of random balloons, and Dick Dastardly said, "Let's give them a bum steer," as if it was obvious to all of us that these balloons were actually cow-shaped balloons when you blow them up. Yeah, so they had these cow-shaped balloons.
You have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and then a real cow appears. Though this time it's not a bull, it's a steer. It's a smaller, scrawnier cow. And just kind of stands there looking angry as Dick Dastardly pulls on its horns as if it was a balloon.
Well, and when it first sees, like, this, like, you know, gathering of steer, it seems to get, like, really, really excited. Like, kind
it looks
of sex-crazed.
Happy. It looks, you know, I wouldn't say sex-crazed. I would say optimistic. It's like,
that's the same thing, isn't it? We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, what do you say about frat boys? Do they look...
they don't look sex-crazed. They look optimistic.
No, he sees some friends. He lives in the barren wasteland of Baja, California. He hasn't seen another steer for months as he walks his weary way through the trackless wastes of cacti and sagebrush.
Yeah.
Now he sees all of these sitting there together. He's like, oh, friends. But then, no, they're goddamn balloons.
Yeah, and then there's a man pulling on his horns. It seems like they should just stop messing with... any kind of steer.
They really
any do. Large animal? Like, just don't... It's not a safe bet, like, to mess around with large animals in general.
Not bears.
Yeah,
not...
Mr. Hance can tell you the truth of that.
Russell Hance?
Yeah. So this gag, of course, does not work.
Gaggle this, of steer balloons. Yeah, do not fool the other racers.
No.
I don't even think they give them a chance to. They all pop somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, they pop because Dick Dastardly is being chased by
the steer.
Optimistic steer. And he is propelled into a cacti that he then falls on top of the balloons with. And it doesn't act... He hits, like, a couple of them right when he falls. The other ones just kind of explode by, I guess,
Well, the cactus, being alarmed, launched all of its quills.
Oh! Yes. I forgot that that's what cacti do.
Yeah. Well, have you ever played Final Fantasy VII? Come on.
That's true. They just little cacti, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Much like...
So, this takes place in the same universe as Final Fantasy VII?
Yes.
As well as Grimm's Brothers Fairy Tales?
I've always thought that Ultros was kind of like Dick Dastardly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
He's purple, he shows up and gets in everybody's way, but never actually tries to win.
There you go. I think this is just that's like a good theory. That's a
precursor
to
chocobo racing. It's pretty wacky.
It's wacky, pretty chocobo wacky. Races. Then there's the mud hole.
Oh, the mud hole.
Oh, yeah.
The mud hole's where it gets deep. It's really deep. Yeah. So Dick Dastardly and Muttley get stuck in a mud hole, and a Mexican fellow...
We call it a stereotype?
Yeah, a guy wearing a sombrero.
And a blanket over his shoulders.
And a blanket and a poncho, who is very obviously a white man impersonating what he thinks a Mexican person sounds like.
I think it sounded more like Austro-Hungarian.
Yes, yeah, like I said, a white man impersonating what he thinks a Mexican person sounds like.
Kind of a Boris Badenov accent.
Yeah, he's friends. He's Archduke friends.
He is there in tow. He's there in tow with his donkey, Tamale.
Yep. This donkey has the... cartoon donkey appearance of having his eyes closed for some reason and gigantic ears.
Yep.
And a case of hydrocephalus.
Yeah, a giant, huge head.
Head, and, same size as body.
Yeah, and his eyes are just super squinty. Like he had, like, just, I don't know.
He just toked on the bifta.
Yeah. So so this Mexican dude offers a tow to Dastardly by use of the donkey has like a...
A winch.
Choke on it. Donkey's a winch.
And he pulls him out.
And he pulls him out, and he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, Dick says...
He's like, can I pay you? Like, other people are going to be coming through here. Can I pay you for your donkey so that they can't get out?
Yeah, because there's like 100 square miles of desert, and there's a tiny mud hole that's like 20 feet by 20
around,
feet.
So.
And nobody drives around it. They all drive into it.
Even though there's no road. It's not really a road at all.
And this lazy slash deceitful Mexican
lures
everybody into the mud hole and then charges them between 50 and 1 pesos to have his donkey pull them out.
Yeah, and
variable pricing here.
Wily. I meant to say Wily. He's a wily Mexican.
There's one thing that I was surprised about, and one thing that I was incensed about with this.
The one.
Yeah, I was surprised. Just the one. Multiple things, but really one stuck out. I was so ready for one of the wacky racers, especially Dick Dastardly, to call the Mexican guy a Frito Bandito at some point because he was talking about money and like haggling people for money. I was expecting that almost.
He looked like him.
And he looked like him. Also, Dick Dastardly keeps making the same mistake where he has his plan that works for like a second. And instead of taking that time to be in front, to like get a lead, he sits there
gloating.
Just a little bit away, gloating, just watching everything happen. So he wastes the entire effort by sitting there while people find their way out of the mess that he's made for them.
It's not even he's not even interested in like winning. He's really just interested in seeing if his plan actually works, it's which is always hubris.
I think
it's like
just...
it's like Hector in the Iliad or Adrian Broner. Like we root against him because he spends all his time taunting his opponents instead of doing the. Putting in the hard yards it takes to actually win the game.
The thing that Dick Dastardly does not understand yet, he hasn't grasped, that really any sort of competitive sport, including racing...
And competitive eating.
Is a competition against yourself. That's the only way to play it with honor, is to only compete against yourself.
Yeah, what's your personal best, Dick?
And he hasn't gotten that yet. He just feels that everybody else must fail worse than him. Which is the true player's way.
Well, it's a real race to the bottom attitude. Yeah. It's just not good.
No. Players? He's like Bill Bellamy?
Yeah, not the true player way. Bill Bellamy would not approve.
Well, the format of Wacky Races doesn't lend itself to like competing against yourself, because every single race is in a different venue. So it's like, well, I finished it in 2 hours 30 last time, but 2 hours 10 this time. Is that better? Is that worse? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's better if, you know, if something bad doesn't happen to your car, like Peter Perfect's car getting bisected by Rufus Ruffcott.
Oh, yeah, and that weird, Peter Perfect's
he was sitting right in the middle of it. It got bisected longitudinally, so it got cut in half, you know.
Like the urethral slicing.
And another interesting thing is that in the last episode, Peter Perfect's car was made flaccid by a cat because he just couldn't penetrate the pussy.
I think that was in episode 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, and then this episode, he stopped again because he's about to rear end
Penelope
pit stop.
In her mud hole.
She's stuck in the mud hole, and he's about to approach her from behind.
And he just puts the brakes on that real quick because he's not about to penetrate her mud hole. Gets out, and he's very much a gentleman. Yeah. And he puts this is like a 20-by-20-foot mud hole, and he puts his coat down.
This Mexican guy establishing this mud hole. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Peter Perfect puts his coat down for Penelope to then drive over.
He's a regular Sir Walter Raleigh.
And the thing is, she had stopped just before the mud hole, so she could have very easily backed up and maneuvered around it.
Yes, everyone could have done that.
But she decides, oh, you put your jacket down, it's good to drive across.
It covers 1% of the mud hole.
Yeah, so she tries to drive across it, and of course gets stuck.
Yeah.
That was pretty wacky. That would probably be my wacky bit.
About Peter Perfect, too, I've never really noticed this, but he's usually not standing up, but he does now.
Oh, yeah.
His ass is extremely square. Just like it is...
Well, it's like a 45-degree angle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's in the name. He's perfect. So he's got one of those perfectly square butts.
That's what they aspire to be?
Yeah, is that what...
Everybody's one of those... Right?
Well, it's like his butt is like a... It's like a skeleton. It's like what you see in a skeleton.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a right angle.
Yes, just like, you know, a pelvis bone that has, you know, pants thrown over it.
There's no cushion there.
No.
No.
No, he's a top. He does not need cushion or any cushion.
Yeah, well, he thinks of himself that way, but we haven't seen any evidence of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so Dick Penelope gets mad at one point again when Dick Dastardly cuts through the sand dune that she's on top of.
Yeah, he cuts through it.
She says, "You're no gentleman." And that's pretty much the only thing she says. So there's, there's only one Lil Ol in this episode.
Wow.
Yeah, it's Lil Ol you. The Lil Ol Mexican stereotype who is running the mud hole trap.
Oh, yeah, speaking of him. Once Dick pays an exorbitant price for his donkey, it turns out he just has a bunch of other donkeys.
All with hydrocephalus.
Yeah.
Every single one of
them. All so inbred.
Quite the trickster.
They're from the donkey mill.
You know those Mexicans, you can never trust them.
Yeah, the donkey's heads are barely, they can barely keep their heads from just like falling over and crushing them.
Yeah, they're
and
like
breaking
bobble
their necks.
Heads. Like their necks are not big enough. There's not enough muscle in those necks to support those heads.
No, there is not.
So at the end, we see most of the sombreros, because there's only been two Mexicans in this entire race until we get towards the end when we see the audience at the end.
Who are all taking a siesta because it's been a really hard day waiting for this race to end.
Hard day of bean farming.
Yeah, so they all are snoring with their sombreros over their heads. There's even one that's not in the stands, but leaning up against the stands.
Yes.
Also, so you got your white sombreros, your orange sombreros, your green sombreros, and your pink sombreros.
Ponchos as well.
Ponchos, of course.
Because this is...
Yeah, Vias.
Baja ha ha.
Baja ha ha. As the Red Max would say.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, the Red Max finally uses this car like it's supposed to be used. Yeah. The only one who just flies over the mud hole.
It's got freaking wings on it.
It seems like that's what he should be doing all the time.
I think he just figured it out.
Dick Dastardly's car seems to fly way better than his
does. Dick, he flew. He flew to get ahead of everybody.
Yes.
He could have just done that to win the race, but no, he went like a second and then stopped so he could do another stupid plan.
Do you think that Max is suffering from a case of amnesia where maybe he had a crash before and he doesn't remember how to fly now?
He doesn't remember how
to
fly.
So this is like him kind of working it out and trying to figure out like what, like how he's supposed to actually...
I think the
there has to be a reason he doesn't know that he can fly that plane.
I think he's suffering from combat fatigue from the Second World War.
Yeah, I think it's because he doesn't want to remember that he was actually a member of the Luftwaffe. Because then he'd get fired from this TV show.
Probably.
Such a controversy.
Yes.
He'd be replied by... He'd be replied by Chuck Yeager or some other all-American aviationist.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's 6 Muttley Snickers in this. Only 2 Dick Dastardly says drats.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, but there are a record number of 15 sombreros.
Wow, there are 15 sombreros? 15 separate sombreros in this?
Well, you know, the last scene makes up 13 sombreros.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, 12 in the audience and 1 next to the audience, looking through the old knot hole.
13 sombreros.
Yes.
In like 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. 15, sorry.
Yep. You can take that number to the bank.
Yeah, and you can't cash it because it's not legal tender.
No, pesos, as if that's a kind of money.
So who won this race? Oh, wait, that's right.
This amazing is shocking. Finish. Shocking.
Oh, in a photo finish.
In a photo finish. The Slag brothers win again.
And what's great is they win by, they're actually pretty far behind. I think they're like fourth or fifth. And I don't know how this works physically.
Because it requires you to believe that the Slag brother could easily run faster than any of the cars.
Because
it has the strength to propel his car with his cudgel faster
This is pretty much a car race from like 1910 when you'd be like, whoa, 30 miles an hour?
Yeah.
That might threaten your life.
Because what happens is that one of the Slag brothers jumps out and he's hitting the car from behind with his cudgel and propelling it even further, but keeping up with it enough to keep hitting it. And it propels...
He's drafting behind the car.
Yeah, and
it
propels the car past all the other cars right to the finish line.
There you go.
It's a pretty amazing finish.
Cause science. Yeah, so obviously we all lost.
Yeah, but the Slag Bros won again. Second time in a row.
Goddamn slags.
Yeah.
I guess an actual random sequence would involve the Slag Brothers winning twice in a row, but it still seems fixed to me.
Oh, so what was everyone's wackiest moment? Among wacky moments.
Well, mine was the sombrero burro part.
And I for me, it was the, unless this happened in the previous episode, it was the Slag Brothers' car hitting them with a cudgel.
The previous episode? That was the previous episode. Slag Brothers have been featured heavily.
Yeah. Right. They're the new breakout characters.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Bash Bros from Mighty Ducks.
They're kind of like the Backstreet Bros.
They are, yeah.
Backstreet Bros.
They said they're basically Slag both. They're basically both J.C. Chassez.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I think my favorite part besides the hydrocephalus.
That's the most fun part of any episode of Todd Browning's Freaks.
Yes,
is.
I think it's Pat Pending's car.
Wait, what did he do this time?
Oh, he during the sand dune part, right before the mud hole, he gets stuck in a sand dune. So he
was it the bowling ball or the giant feet?
No, it was the giant feet. And I think like in later on in life, he's going to be the guy who makes the metal spider that runs through the desert in Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
He's the first. This is the progenitor to that idea. He's like, you know what would work so well in the desert?
Yeah.
Bunch of metal feet.
Yeah.
I mean, what was his name? Loveless?
Yeah. Or maybe he's going to be that gigantic spider, the big mechanical spider.
Yeah, he's going to be the spider.
Yeah, just walking around.
Any outlaw trying to draw, thinking you're bad. Any drawing on Pat Pending, that's with a pen and a pad.
Get stuck in that mud hole.
See, they cannot move until Tamale pulls them out.
I'm beginning to get an idea for a dirty trick. I'll give you 100 pesos for that burro.
Oh, that's a deal.